Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
I'm like, I never heard of this.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
Everybody, good evening. Hello, what's happening? It's the Ron Kelly Show. We are back in better than ever on this Thursday night, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. First and foremost, I want to thank you to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for allowing me to get through this week and return safe and sound to the airwaves on yet another Thursday to talk about the things that matter most to you. No fake news here, just facts. Okay, so we have a truckload of things to talk about tonight. Hopefully, I can get to squeeze it all in. And at the top of the show, we will talk about the dreaded coronavirus. We'll talk about the coronavirus. And the coronavirus is sweeping through this world as we speak, and the effect it can have on this country in particular. Also, in 1981, 39 years ago, did author Dean Koontz, K-O-O-N-T-S, in his book called The Eyes of Darkness, predict this virus that's called Wuhan 400. Now, Wuhan is the name of the town in real life, the name of the town where the virus is alleged to have been discovered or unleashed, or whatever the case may be. And so you already know I'm going to get into this. Also, the Phoenix rises from the ashes. And sorry to say, the South did not feel the burn as Joe Biden destroys Bernie, Elizabeth Warren, and Bloomberg and send them scurrying for the exits on the day after. All that and more right here on the Ron Kelly Show for Thursday, March 5th, 2020. And wow. So coronavirus is creeping along. It's creeping as well. At last count, I believe there's 200 Americans. And in the beginning, it was 2 and 3 and 4. Everybody was like, okay, well, you know, it's not really going to affect us. But at last count, there were 200 Americans that had the coronavirus, that are infected with the coronavirus, and 12 people have died so far. So, wow. But, you know, but now, this book, I'm going to start off with the coronavirus. We will talk about the presidential election. I will talk about, breaking news. Now, this is really breaking news, not the nonsense that people be putting on Facebook. Now, this really is breaking news right here. The Supreme Court, just a few seconds ago, the Supreme Court granted a stay to Nathaniel Woods. Nobody probably even know who this guy was, but Nathaniel Woods is a death row inmate who was convicted for the June 2004 murders of 3 Birmingham, Alabama police officers. But one of his co-defendants by the name of Kerry Spencer says he's the one who fired the gun that claimed the officers' lives. Both men were ultimately sentenced to death, but Spencer, the sole gunman, does not have an execution date set. So the man who admitted that he fired the weapon does not have a execution date set, and the man who his co-defendant says he did not fire the weapon did have a death sentence. Which was supposed to be carried out tonight at 7 o'clock, actually. So just about 10 minutes before 7, Nathaniel Woods, black man, 41 years old, has been in jail for the last 16 years, was given a stay of execution. What's up, Dave? Peace to you, my brother. So as of right now, the Supreme Court has given a stay of execution to Nathaniel Woods. Nathaniel Woods was a black man who was a co-defendant and who was convicted in a June 2004 murder, 16 years ago, 2004 murders of three Birmingham police officers. Once again, the co-defendant, Kerry Spencer, has no execution date, but the man who Kerry Spencer says had nothing to do with it did have one. Okay, so we got a lot going on here. And, you know, and there's a book, and I want you guys to, you know, some of you who read, Dean Koontz, it's a 1981 thriller about a deadly virus from Wuhan. Now, Wuhan is a place where the virus actually is alleged to have started. And now his book is on the bestseller list, 39 years since it was written. The book is called The Eyes of Darkness, and it describes a killer virus named Wuhan 400. Now, Dean Koontz is a fiction writer. You know, so he's some of his, many of his books have been made into movies. And The Eyes of Darkness, 1981, 39 years ago, before my time. Anyway, 1981, 39 years ago, The Eyes of Darkness describes a virus named Wuhan 400 after the Chinese city it originated in. And now this is alleged to have predicted the outbreak of COVID-19, which was first identified in the same city. Now, the Eyes of Darkness in the book, Wuhan 400, that's what it's called in the book, Wuhan 400, is a bioweapon. And see, this is what people have been, you know, this is what folks have been fearful of for so many years, because bioweapons are being produced. Now, we know about the nuclear weapons, and we know about the ground game tanks and Air Force, Army, Navy, but bioweapons are being produced by some of these countries. Now, in the book, The Eyes of Darkness, Wuhan 400 is a bioweapon virus that has a fatality rate of 100% within 12 hours. Now, the characters in the book explain that the Chinese intended to use it to wipe out a city or country without the need for expensive decontamination, because the virus does not live outside the body. So, and that was my thought in the beginning, that the Wuhan 400 was a bioweapon that got out from Chinese control. You see, because in China, the news is still controlled by the state. The state of China, with China being a communist country, the government controls the news. So the government controls what goes in the newspapers. They control what goes on television. So whatever you see or hear in the news media in China has already been censored and packaged by the Chinese. So you can hear, so you're only going to hear what the Chinese government wants you to hear. And so many people have gone on and purchased this book because it's eerily similar to what's going on today. Wuhan. Now, who would have thought, I mean, like 40 years ago, that this man would have named the city where this has come from now? And I also think that maybe there's a possibility that this virus had gotten out of control from Chinese hands. You see, because this probably was going on for who knows how long this was going on in China, because China does, you know, China controls the media. So whatever you read, like I said, whatever you read or see in Chinese media has been put there by the Chinese government. So, you know, this could have been going on for weeks and months, and it's a possibility that it just got out and they just didn't say anything. They thought maybe they could control it. They didn't want to be embarrassed, whatever the case may be. And once it got out of their hands and it started spreading to other countries, Italy and Iran and all these other places, that's when they came out and started talking about it. Now, the fiction of Wuhan from the coronavirus that we know of today, the origin is the same. Now, in the fiction, in the book, it says the incubation period was 4 hours. And the real coronavirus, today's version, it takes several days to 2 weeks. Now, in the book, the symptoms were literally eats away brain tissue like battery acid dissolving cheesecloth. Now, in this version, today's version of the coronavirus, the symptoms are fever, cough, shortness of breath. Fever, cough, and shortness of breath. Now, in the book, the mortality rate was 100% in the coronavirus we know of today. So far, it's been estimated that the mortality rate is 2 to 3%. So like I said earlier, we have 200, there's about 200 infections, whatever you want to call it, right now in America, and 12 people have died. So that's, you know, that's kind of around 2 or 3%. So this is, you know, the stock market today dropped to 900 points. Yesterday it was up 1,200. Today it's down 900. And this is the thing that's going to happen. Now, you know, everything is going to be affected by this. Yeah, because you got Bernie, and shout out to Mike Burgess. You got Bernie, and you have Bernie and Biden. Now, Biden is 77 years old. Bernie is 78 years old. The coronavirus allegedly is more harmful to senior citizens than it is to younger people. As a matter of fact, I don't think any kids, young kids or adolescents have been affected by the virus as of yet. So thank God for that. But we have a 77-year-old and a 78-year-old who are going to be campaigning. You know, when you go out and campaign, you go out and, you know, you go out in crowds, rallies. I don't know if Trump, you know, Trump is a germaphobe. So maybe Trump himself. I mean, this is going to affect everything. The baseball season has come up there in spring training right now. We got basketball, you know, football season is, you know, around the corner. And all these things are going to be affected by this coronavirus. People are not going to want to go out. People at concerts, you know, because, you know, here in America, we are big, big crowd type of people. And so they better get a handle on this coronavirus. They better get a handle on it. And everybody needs to, you know, I mean, maybe you may not know anybody who has it, but everybody needs to be aware of this coronavirus. This is very serious. And I would suggest to you to get a copy of this book, The Eyes of Darkness by Dean Koontz, because I've read, Crib Notes read it, because I didn't have time to read it before the show. But there are some eerie similarities between The Eyes of Darkness and today's darkness with the coronavirus. All right. Well, welcome, everybody. It's about 15 minutes past the hour exactly. You're listening to The Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. I still got a lot to talk about. I'm going to talk about Joe Biden and the phoenix that rose from the ashes the other night and destroyed what's left of the Democratic Party. And now it's the South apparently didn't feel a burn. So Bernie felt a burn. And Joe Biden won 9 of the 13 states that were up for grabs in the Super Tuesday election just a couple days ago. So I'll talk about that. And I'll talk about the honeypot controversy. You know, honeypot, some of you who engage in television as much as I do, the honeypot company that was featured on Target, and the honeypot company is being shot some nasty vitriol by white folks who seem to have a problem with what the honeypot company represents. This is a company that was featured on Target, and a company who was given a good floor spot in Target. And white folks have a problem with the commercial. So I'll talk about that too. And once again, as I said earlier, Nathaniel, a lot of y'all didn't even know who he was. He was too busy putting pictures of food on Facebook that you didn't know. Nathaniel Woods had been issued a stay of execution just about 20 minutes ago 25 minutes ago, just minutes before he was to be executed. Now, I don't know if he was strapped down to the gurney or whatever the case, you know, whatever they do. I don't know if he was strapped down to the gurney, but just minutes ago, the United States Supreme Court stayed the execution of Nathaniel Woods. It was supposed to happen just a few minutes before he actually was killed. And the stay was signed by none other than our friend Clarence Thomas, who is, well, anyway, I want to give him props today because I usually, you know, take him to the woodshed, but I'm going to give him props tonight for staying the execution of Nathaniel Woods, who was convicted in the triple execution of three Birmingham, Alabama police officers just about 16 years ago. All right, so we take a break and we'll come right back. Got lots to talk about, lots to talk about. We'll get to it. So don't touch that dial. We'll get to it in just a few minutes. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC. We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
Hi, I'm Lisa Edelstein. Every day on set, I help my fictional doctors save the lives of imaginary patients in the TV series House. Every day in his village in Ethiopia, Barasa Ware helps save the lives of real children as a local health worker. Like many children in the developing world, the ones in Barasa's village are threatened by common illnesses that kill millions worldwide. But unlike villages without a local health worker, the children of Barasa's village get the care they need to survive. Imagine how many more children could be saved with your help. When you help local health workers like Barasa, you help children survive all over the world. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org and find out all the ways you can help the good go further. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
And we are back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show. Yeah, lots going on. This coronavirus, scary thing. Very, very scary situation going on. Anyway, everybody, welcome. Welcome all the folks. I can't see everybody on Facebook Live. I can't see you all, but shout out to my distributor, the AMFM Broadcasting Network, for the good work that they do every Thursday in the limited syndication that the Ron Kelly Show is in Colorado, Boulder, Colorado, Memphis, Tennessee. Shout out to the people in Memphis who suffered the devastating tornado the other day that destroyed the downtown area. At last count, I heard the 25 people were dead, and that was just a couple days ago. So, you know, hopefully not. That didn't rise any. You know, and peace be upon those who lost their loved ones in that disaster down in Memphis, Tennessee. Shout out to Lamont Gates, who's watching the program. Lamont Gates, the advocate of cats. Lamont Gates loves his cat. Okay, that cat must eat the best food, and the cat has a sleep number bed. So the cat just presses the button and makes the bed set up. Anyway, shout out to Lamont Gates, who's watching the program. Okay, so the honeypot controversy. Now, I talked a little bit about earlier in the program. I don't want to dwell on the, you know, I don't want to make people feel bad. Just the facts, though. Just the facts about the coronavirus and the effect it's having. And it could have come at the worst time. Summertime is coming. Baseball season will be here right now. All organic. Okay. Baseball season is coming, you know, basketball playoffs will be here soon, the finals, you got the March Madness going on, there's so many, I'm sure, Lamont Gates, I'm sure, there's so many things going on right now, Shout out to Ed Cotton, who's from Paterson, New Jersey, who's watching the program. Husband of Ruby Cotton, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. If not, I'm sorry. Shout out to Sharon Ellen Chambers, my sister. Love you, girl. Okay, so here we go with the honey pot. I talked a little bit about the coronavirus thing a little earlier. It's depressing to talk about because the stock market was up 1,300 points yesterday. It was down 900 points today. And that's how it's been since this coronavirus thing started. Up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. And a little while ago, I spoke about Dean Koontz. Dean Koontz, who's a fiction writer who wrote a book called The Eyes of Darkness that is eerily similar to what's happening right now with the coronavirus. In the book, the virus was called Wuhan 400. Now, Wuhan happens to be the actual place where the virus was, at least that's what the Chinese tell us, the actual place where the virus started. You know, I think it was a bioweapon that got away from them. That's what I think. And it was probably going on for a while, but they, the Chinese control the media. And you don't have like Facebook and Twitter and all of that stuff in China. Now, they will know Google. No, they don't allow that. Because the Chinese, whatever you read in Chinese newspapers, or even if they have internet, it's already been filtered and packaged by the Chinese government. So you're not going to, you see what they want you to see. And I think that this has probably been going on for a while already, and they just didn't tell anybody until it started getting out of hand. Iran and all these places where it shouldn't have been. And people had already traveled around and populations were already infected before the Chinese even mentioned this thing. That's what I think. I have to watch out when I leave out of here in the morning. The Chinese might be outside in the parking lot. Anyway, so yeah, that's what I think would happen. But Dean Koontz, 39 years ago, wrote a book about the coronavirus, even though they didn't call it coronavirus at that time. So definitely, I mean, I crib noted it. I didn't have time to read it before the show. I crib noted it. So definitely check it out. It's called The Eyes of Darkness by Dean Koontz, K-O-O-N-T-Z. Eerily similar to what's going on with the coronavirus right here in America today, which is spreading. And at last count, there were 200 people. And there's going to be a whole lot more. There's no getting around that. Thank God it's not affecting the kids right now. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's not affecting the children right now because allegedly it has very little effect on the kids so far as we know. But folks, you know, senior citizens and people with underlying preconditions are the most vulnerable at this time. So hopefully Trump will get it together. Hopefully the Lord save you, Jesus Christ will step in and stop this thing before it gets, because the economy is at risk. Again, baseball season, they were already in spring training, basketball, soccer, football, you know, concerts, even the presidential campaigning is, you know, they're going to be campaigning inside a bubble because they're not going to be able to shake anybody's hand or touch anybody. So, Lamont Gates, shout out to Lamont Gates, says Koontz is a wacky conspiracy theorist. Maybe he is, Lamont. Maybe he is. But you compare that book, The Eyes of Darkness, to what's going on today, and he doesn't seem so wacky. He does not seem wacky at all. Now, the premise for the book, that it was a bioweapon, hey, maybe it was a bioweapon. Maybe the Chinese were developing a bioweapon, and it got away from them. That's a strong possibility. There's bioweapons that are being produced all around the world. There's a lot of countries who don't have nukes, you know, don't have the capacity to send a nuke over here, whatever the case may be. So a bioweapon is the next best thing. Shout out to Anthony Moriano, who's watching the program. The bioweapon is the next best thing, Lamont Gates. Not everybody has 4,000 nukes pointed at Russia like we do. Warsaw Pact countries. I think that's what they call it. Anyway, yeah, so bioweapons are a much cheaper way to kill a bunch of people. So that he may be a wacky conspiracy theorist, but that him calling 39 years ago the virus Wuhan 400. Now, Wuhan is the place where the virus is alleged to have started. In the town of Wuhan in China. And like I said, I think it was going on all along. I think that the Chinese knew about this. They just didn't say anything. All right. It's half of the show is almost over. All right, everybody, you're listening to The Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com and ronkellyshow.com. And thank God for Clarence Thomas. I never thought I would ever say that in my life. Clarence Thomas, who stayed the execution of Nathaniel, was just about 10 minutes before I came on air. Oh, shout out to Sandra Joy, who wants to join the LeRon Kelly Show Nation. Sure. Sandra Joy Jones from Flora Park, New Jersey, wants to join the LeRon Kelly Show Nation. Approved. You are approved. And some of you all, now come on now. Some of y'all, you know, you can join the LeRon Kelly Show Nation too. You can join the LeRon Kelly Show Nation too. Just go to the LeRon Kelly Show Facebook page. Everything is right there. You just click the request button, and if I like you, I'll put you in. If I don't, no. Everyone, all are welcome to the Ron Kelly Show Nation. So you can go to my page. You click the Ron Kelly Show Nation button, and you too can join the Ron Kelly Show Nation. All right, half past the hour, half of the show is gone. Shout out to Lamont Gates, who called Dean Koontz a wacky conspiracy theorist. I understand, Lamont Gates. 4,946 folks who like the Ron Kelly Show, the same amount follow the Ron Kelly Show. So if you want to follow me, not only follow me, but, you know, follow the Ron Kelly Show, follow what I'm posting, follow how I get down. Just go to the Ron Kelly Show Facebook page and click the follow button. You can like it, too. But either way, like, follow, whatever the case may be. Okay, so the honeypot situation. Now, this honeypot is a black-owned business. The young lady's name is Beatrice Dixon. And as a part of the celebration for Black History Month, Target created ad spots for different Black-owned brands as part of their Founders We Believe In series in honor of Black History Month, which is over, by the way. One of their commercials was for Honey Pot, a line of feminine hygiene products. And white folks went ape crap, you know, over this. Now, during this 30-second commercial, Beatrice Dixon talked about how difficult it was for her to start her company and expressed gratitude for Target for helping her overcome the obstacles that black folks and others, white people too, sometimes face when trying to jumpstart a business. And she expressed gratitude for Target for helping her overcome the obstacles and paving the way for her to get into other retailers. At the end of the ad, Dixon talked about why it's so important for her, why it's so important to her for her company to succeed. Now, she says that the reason why it's so important for the honey pot to do well is so the next black girl that comes up with the great idea could have a better opportunity. That means a lot to me. That's Beatrice Dixon. Those are her words, founder and CEO of the honey pot. Now, the message was an empowering one and one of hope, highlighting just how important representation is when it comes to seeing people who look like you succeed. But that sentiment wasn't shared by others. In fact, there were groups of people who were offended, groups of white folks who were offended by Dixon's remarks and felt it was racist and exclusionary. Some were so outraged, they took to the online rating site Trustpilot and began flooding the honeypot's profile with negative one-star reviews, such as these. Racism, plain and simple, is okay if you're not white, I guess. Someone else says, I received a bottle of one of the honeypot cleansers in my bump box subscription my husband bought for me during my pregnancy and thought the product was just all right. Then I saw the commercial where the founder of the company stated that it's to empower black women, not all women, only black women. And it made me feel that the company is not only racist, but small-minded and not worth purchasing. I will tell all my friends and anyone who asks that the products are not worth purchasing. Very disappointed in the company and founder. Another person said, this company has decent products, but it has racist advertising. please change your commercial. I'm surprised some of the networks aired it. Now, outrage ensued, particularly among black women, when people noticed what was happening with the reviews. Now, many took to Twitter and encouraged others to rate Honey Pot positively to counteract the impact of the negative reviews. Many went a step further and started buying the brand's product as a show of support and solidarity. Trustpilot suspended the brand's page on their site so they took all the messages. Now, as of now, the Honey Pot's profile on Trustpilot has been reinstated, and all the negative reviews have been removed. But you see now what the backlash life is about belonging. Therefore, business is about belonging. Now, people from minority and underrepresented groups are used to receiving signals, both overt and inadvertently, that say this isn't for you. People who are part of the majority are not. As such, it can be uncomfortable and triggering for them. So even though Bea Dixon was sending a message of her desire to want to empower young black girls, a group that is often told by the mainstream and word in action that you don't belong here, it wasn't intended to be detrimental to anybody else. Now, I understand that. Now, angry reviewers were mostly white women, and they felt like they were being excluded. They felt like they were being told empowerment is only needed for black girls, or even this product isn't for you. While none of the sentiments were true, the reality of this problem or misunderstanding is not new. You see, now, here we go. Now, imagine a white company, right? Imagine a white company that says, we want to empower little white girls. Or imagine a white company that targeted only white folks, I mean, in their advertising, and said what Bea Dixon said. Now, if a white company, and I'm not trying to defend these people. I'm not trying to defend these people. I think what they did was reprehensible. So I'm not trying to defend these people. But now, if a white company said their products are for white people, and their business is to empower little white girls, we'd be spinning on our heads. We'd be flipping if a white company said that their products were for white people. It would almost be like the white only fountains of the 40s and 50s. So white people said, we only want this. We only want white people to use this, and that this is to empower little white girls. We'd be on ceiling. Now think about that. We would be on the ceiling about that, because now they're racist because they are, and it's a product to be used by any woman. All women have vaginas, you know. And there's no difference between the black one and a white one, or an Asian one, or Native American, Hispanic. Vaginas are all the same. You know, they all function the same way. So the Honey Pot would work. Shout out to Bunny McKnight. The Honey Pot female hygiene products would work for anybody, because all women's feminine, you know, all women's. I'm trying to be politically correct here. All women's vaginas work the same. You know, it doesn't matter who they're. What nationality they are. They're in the same place on everyone's body. Vagina's in the same spot. Functions the same way for the most part. And so the Honey Pot, even though it's a black-owned company, the products can be used with any woman. Black, white, green, orange, yellow, blue, you know, Hispanic, Native American, black, white, Asian, you know, whoever, European, whatever. So white people, and I'm not defending these folks. I'm not defending white folks, because they should have came across a little bit better than what they did. They should have came across with anger. They should have came and let people know how they feel. Now, white folks said, okay, this is for white people. This ain't for you. Black folks would be up in arms, calling Reverend Al and Jesse Jackson. We'd be up in arms. So, and I'm not defending these folks, but see, but you have to, you know, in order to understand people, you have to look at things from their point of view. And I'm not defending them at all. They were wrong for what they did. They should have came off a little bit better. They could have been nicer, but they could have been a little more, you know, they didn't have to bash this woman, this black woman, Bea Dixon, who is the founder and CEO for the Honey Pot. It's a line of feminine hygiene products. Now, she's now Bea Dixon is not saying that the feminine hygiene products are only for black women, because black women, white women, Native American, Asian, European, whoever, the vaginas are all the same, basically. They all function the same. So any woman, no matter what her background is or what her race is, could use the Honey Pot. But white folks were disturbed by Bea Dixon saying that the Honey Pot, it's important for the Honey Pot to do well, so the next black girl, and that's when white folks lost it. But you see, if we did that, if white folks did that, we would lose it. You know, we would lose our minds if white folks came up with a product and said, you know, we're hoping that little white girls can progress from this. Black folks would be up in arms. So while I don't condone what these people did, I thought it was nasty and hate mongering and very bad taste. But you know, I've said that, you know, that for us to say, you know, black owned businesses, it does kind of separate us from everybody else. You see, because white people don't say white, you know, when you go to get when you see a commercial on TV, for the most part, some of them are done right, some of them are really bad, the ones I talked about, you don't see, like, you know, like, for white people only, you know, Tide is not for white people only, or you know, or the Home Depot or someplace like that. So you don't see that. You don't see come here because we're white. You know, you don't see that, but we do that. We say black-owned businesses and black people should buy from black. And I get it. You know, I get it that black folks should support each other. I get what the narrative is here. I get it. But when you do that, you isolate everybody else. You know, see, I don't want anything that only black people use. I don't want to have a radio show only black people listen to. Oh, no, because you know what? My radio show would only be where black people are, and I don't want that. I want everybody to hear my show. I want everybody. I want all races to engage the Ron Kelly Show, which right now they do. And they send me emails and let me know that they appreciate what I do. But I'm not trying to cater to any one race. But I don't want only black people listening to my radio show. No. I want white folks too, Asians, Native Americans, whoever. Because this isn't a black show. Some of y'all may not like that, but what can I tell you? All right, it's 20 minutes, 19 minutes before the hour. Still got a couple more things to talk about before I break out of here. Glad to see you all here. Shout out to my folks at blogtalkradio.com, the RonKellyShow.com. Thank you so much to people for AMFM Broadcast Network who helped me get this show out every week, and to Blog Talk Radio who screws it up as much as they possibly can. Anyway, they can't do nothing about what I say. Anyway, we'll be back with more of the show. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. Ron Kelly. Who's getting hot in here? Ron Kelly Show. .com.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Yeah, yeah.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted.
All right, that's right. Do not get it twisted. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show.com. Boy, if you got a 401k right now, I know you are like sweating bullets because the stock market was up 1,200 points yesterday, down 900 points today. It's been up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. Wow. This coronavirus is wreaking havoc on the United States of America. So if you don't pray, you better start. That this thing can get put under control. So I'm arguing with the cable person today. I'm so sick of cable. I'm sick of cable. The prices are insane. I resisted getting one of those fire sticks because I saw the trouble that people were having with the fire stick. It works sometimes, it does, sometimes it don't. You can't get this, you can't get that, you can't control what you watch. But man, I'm so sick of cable. I'm so sick of Comcast. Or Xfinity, or whatever they're calling themselves these days. And the nincompoop, Jim Dolan, who owns the Knicks. So you know right there is a problem. Because the Knicks have sucked for the last... They haven't been to the playoffs in a decade. And the place is packed every night. See, that's why he probably doesn't care, because, you know, the Knicks in New York, well, right now, I mean, if coronavirus gets any worse, Madison Square Garden is going to be empty. And Giant Stadium or whatever they call it, MetLife or wherever else, is going to be empty. Citi Field and so on and so forth. Because this coronavirus thing gets any worse, folks are going to start staying in the house. So it's going to get worse before it gets better, I believe. Hopefully, you know, God will intervene and put his hands on this situation because this thing is getting scary. Okay, so Barack Obama has not come out and endorsed Joe Biden yet. Has not. So people are asking, why? What happened to Obama? Why is that? No. The president is right for not endorsing Joe Biden just yet. Let him win the nomination first. Then the president can come in. You know, the president, Obama, is nobody's surrogate. So let Joe Biden win the primary, which he did on his own. You know, the president was very smart for staying out of it because Joe Biden was able to win those nine states the other night, two nights ago. He was able to win those nine states on his own, which shows, you know, he didn't need Obama. So so you bring out the big guns after you win the primary, which looks like Joe Biden is about to do unless he has a major gaffe or something. Because Bernie Sanders hasn't even been in Mississippi. And Joe Biden has done this for no money. And poor Mike Bloomberg, who spent $500 million, won American Samoa, where six people and two midgets, two fidgets, whatever you want to call them, live. That's what Mike Bloomberg got for his $500 million investment in his presidential campaign. He got American Samoa, where 14 people live. But that wasn't even 10% of his net worth. So, you know, he'll probably get half of it back, saving taxes and write-offs. And, you know, most of the money was meant to pay people and buy advertising and stuff. So he'll probably even get most of that back. So, and he knew that going in. So, yeah, so 13 minutes before the hour, everybody. So we got the election coming up, and And so now it's going to be a two-dog race with Biden and Bernie. Feel the burn. Which people didn't feel that burn the other night. So, yeah. So, a lot going on. So, a lot going on. Thank the Lord. I'm wearing my Ain't God We Must t-shirt. People sponsoring the Ron Kelly Show. IGWM. And I'm wearing a t-shirt. You know, you can go online and go to IGWM.com. They sent me like three of them in a package the other day. And I'm like, boy, should I wear this? Anyway, but this was nice. No, let me stop. They sent me three shirts to wear while I'm on a show. So, so everything I wear is not what I want to wear. Sometimes some things I wear because I've been asked to wear it for the radio show. Because on YouTube and some other places, thousands of people see the Ron Kelly Show. It's not and I can't see everybody on the Facebook Live anyway. So, but there's lots more folks who watch the Ron Kelly Show outside of this area than they do inside this area, which is cool. I appreciate everybody who checks me out every Thursday. Because it's hard to get people's attention, especially nowadays. You got Facebook, Twitter, people putting their recipes on Facebook, pictures of food. You know, food, when there's a food commercial on television, that food is made up. That food, shout out to Rodney Hill who's watching the show. That when you put it, when they put those burgers and stuff on TV, they have people make up people. You think those burgers don't look that good when you get to McDonald's or place may be Arby's or whoever? That food don't look that good when you get there. No. You know, they have when they do a commercial, just like they have makeup people, you know, on a runway and for runway models, they have makeup people for burgers. But they squirt a little oil on it to make it look juicy, you know, fluff up the bun, and, you know. So when you see that burger on TV, that burger is perfect. It's just right. There's somebody, they got make burger makeup people. You know, when you see that egg flip on the McDonald's commercial for the Egg McMuffin, that's all made up. I mean, I'm not saying it's fake, but they have people who make that food look good. They have people who dress that food up to make it look good. So when you put a piece, put your plate on Facebook, it looks horrible. It don't look good. You don't have no chicken makeup people, and you know they got makeup people who do that stuff. When a food distributor or food fast food restaurant contracts with a advertising agency, they have people who take pictures of that food, dress it up, squirt a little juice here, you know, where the cheese melts just right and the lettuce is so green and fluffy and perfect. When you go to the restaurant, you're not going to see that. But they dress that food up on TV so you can, to give it that, to make that food look good. So when the average Joe puts a plate of food on Facebook, it looks horrible. It looks uneatable because you don't have a makeup person to make your chicken look good. So when you put a pan of macaroni and cheese on Facebook, it looks like a pan of cement. You know, it doesn't look palatable at all. Because these people, when they put this food on TV, they have makeup people who make that food look perfect. Otherwise, it would look like y'all food. Anyway, it's 8 minutes and 55 seconds left of the program. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com. You know, your Facebook page is the new resume these days. People don't even ask for your resume anymore. They ask for your resume as a courtesy. But then what they really want to see is your Facebook page. Why? Because the Facebook page is going to give more information to them than your resume ever would. Because see, with a resume, you got time to sit down and, you know, put your best foot forward and, you know, see, but for most of us, for 99% of us, we don't think anybody's going to see or anybody's going to care as far as getting a job or anything like that, we don't think anybody's going to care about what we write on Facebook. So we just write any old thing, you know. But your Facebook page is the new resume. Because people don't, you know, people know that resumes can be dressed up and, you know, we'll say we were a janitor, but we can, I was a janitor, but on my resume, I can say I was a stationary engineer or something like that to dress it up. And employers know that. So what they do, they look at your Facebook page. What are you posting about? What do you care about? Can you spell? Anyway, let me stop because I know I might be offending some of y'all. But anyway, everybody, it's the Ron Kelly Show. 7 minutes before the hour. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go smoke a cigar. Go to the live show from Fume down the street from me in Montclair, New Jersey, which they are building everywhere. You can't move. Everywhere you go, there's a skeleton of a building going up here in the town of Montclair. They just finished a hotel with 195 rooms. And there might not be 25,000 people who live here. So, yeah, but that's what happens in some areas. Some areas get it and some don't. Okay, so yeah, so everybody definitely be careful. You know, just log on to the Ron Kelly Show Nation, please, if you don't mind, and just click the button and join the Ron Kelly Show Nation. Talk about a lot of good things. I haven't really been, you know, I need to do my due diligence with it. I haven't been, but I definitely certainly will. Thank you to the folks who already joined the Ron Kelly Show Nation. And if you can, get a copy of Dean Koontz's book. It's called The Eyes of Darkness. And it's just so weird that it mirrors what's going on today with the COVID-19 is what they call it. In the Eyes of Darkness, they called it Wuhan 400. Okay, I love this radio thing. Because I tell you, there's a lot of reasons why, you know, I have a lot of reasons to say no, you know. But I do enjoy it. You know, it's a, you know, instead of just posting nonsense, you know, it's a good way to actually let people know what I'm really thinking. And I appreciate the folks who give a damn about what I'm really thinking. But anyway, 5 minutes left to go. I know I'm counting down, right? Like I'm ready to jump out of my chair. But yeah, so we got the, so definitely the women, you know, support Honey Pot next time you go to Target. You know, go up to the Honey Pot display, feminine hygiene products. Not suggested that any of y'all need it, but, you know, the Honey Pot created by a sister. You know, and I encourage all people, all the folks who listen to the Ron Kelly Show, not just the black ones, but white and Asian, whoever else who listens to the Ron Kelly Show, definitely next time you're in Target, just pick up a bottle of, pick up a product from the Honey Pot. Support this lady. Not because she's black, but because she's a businesswoman. So don't support her because she's black. Support her because she's a woman who's been given a big break by Target to put her stuff out there. So definitely support this woman. And yeah, and everybody be careful. The coronavirus is alive and well, and, you know, it's scary. I know there's a lot of folks who are, you know, a lot of us. It's going to come to the hood sooner or later, so don't think it ain't coming to Monticello Avenue in Jersey City or Broadway in Patterson or 125th Street. Oh, it's coming. It's coming. Trust me. Cabrini Green housing projects in Chicago. Okay, it's coming. It's coming. But hopefully they can get a handle on it. I understand there's not a lot of it's just totally unprepared, the United States of America and Donald Trump. Totally unprepared for the coronavirus. Completely unprepared. I understand there's going to be 1 million test kits. I wonder if they're reusable because you got 300 million people in the United States of America and you got 1 million test kits. And you put, God only knows why he put this Vice President Pence in charge of this. And Pence is not a doctor. So why wouldn't you put a doctor in charge of the coronavirus situation? Why not a doctor? Why not a virologist? Somebody who studies infectious diseases. Maybe like Dr. Fauci. National Institutes of Health, who Center for Disease Control, who's an expert in infectious diseases. Why not put him? Why put Pence, who knows nothing about nothing? The only thing he knows is standing behind Trump, like a statue, whenever Donald Trump is making a speech. So put a doctor there. You know, you had a meeting the other day on the coronavirus, only three people there were medical professionals. The rest were who God only knows. So get the best virologists in the country, United States of America, because if there's any place you want to be during something like this, it's right here in the United States of America. Say what you want about police brutality and everything else, but I wouldn't want to be in some undeveloped country with something like this going on. I don't think so, because you might as well just dig your own grave and jump in it. But here in America, you got a shot. So hopefully the Trump administration gets together, the Trump will back out of it, and that's one thing. We won't have to worry about any more Trump places now, because he's not going there for fear that he might get it. He's 70-something years old. It's a good chance that he may not make it through. So, yeah, everybody, definitely be careful. I carry around my I'm not paranoid about the coronavirus. I'm not paranoid because I don't use mass transit. I work by myself. So when I go to work, I get my car alone. When I do my work, I'm alone. And when I come home, I'm alone. So I don't take – if you do have to take mass transit and stuff like that, do be careful. I understand that masks won't help. So don't go, you know, wearing a mask. But for most of all, everybody, just pray. You know, keep your prayers up. Those of you who believe in Jesus Christ, definitely pray. And, you know, say your prayers for the folks who already passed on. Pray for the folks who may pass on. And we pray that the country gets it together and this coronavirus, they can come up with a vaccine, much like they did with polio and everything else, flu shots and stuff like that. And I heard you get a flu shot. So don't believe the stuff people be posting the nonsense on Facebook. Don't believe it. Go to the United States government, National Institutes of Health, Centers for Disease Control. Those are the best places where you can go to get the information that you need. Because some people on Facebook are dangerous and they're posting the most outrageous nonsense on the Facebook feed about this. So definitely don't believe everything you read or hear. Go to the source and get the information that you need to make your best judgment on the situation. Everybody, 10 seconds left, I'm out of here. Make it a good one. Again, it's nice to be informed, but it's more important to be nice and that we may not have it all together, but together we definitely have it all. Thanks so much. That's it.